Our first scripture lesson is from the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth doesn't get read very often, but it's hopeful. And it's a story of loyalty. And if I have trouble with some of these Old Testament names, please forgive me. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab. He and his wife had two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went to the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. One was named Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard that in the country of Moab that the Lord had had consideration for his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law. And as they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah, but Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt kindly with me. And the Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "No, turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. It is best for you, far better for you, that you return home, because the hand of the Lord is against me." And they wept aloud again, but Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to their gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. When you die, I will die, and I will be buried. May the Lord do this and thus and so to me, and more as well. If death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Okay, let's see here. The second reading from the New Testament, from 1 John, verses 1 to 3 in chapter 3. Listen for the word of God here. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been determined. What we do know now is that when He is revealed, we will be with Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have hope in Him, purify yourselves, just as He is pure. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for the gift of Holy Scripture, and in particular for the verses that we heard read this morning. Now, as we ponder upon those words, may Your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts this morning. Amen. There's a story told about Ben Franklin. And the story goes that he once was asked to read to the audience of a group in town called the Infidels Club, which was a literary society. He was known to regard the Bible as a literary wasteland. Quite craftily, Franklin decided to read the Old Testament book of Ruth. Now, he carefully contemporized the names and some of the phrases in the story so that it would not be recognized as a reading from the Bible. When Franklin finished with his reading, those gathered members of the Infidel Club agreed that this was one of the most beautiful stories that they had ever heard. Of course, they inquired on the source and the author, and you can imagine their surprise when Franklin revealed that the source of the story was that old literary wasteland, the Holy Bible. The book of Ruth certainly is one of the best short stories ever. It really does read like a short novel. If you haven't done it yet, try reading it all in one session. It is a beautiful story with all the successful Hollywood ingredients: tragedy, friendship, trickery, romance, and a happy ending. Although it is a beautiful piece of literature, the reality behind the story is even more fascinating. The Book of Ruth is one of those stories that shows how the saving grace of God unfolds in real and sometimes messy lives. Indeed, messy is the right word for it. Look at the mess surrounding Naomi in our reading this morning. She leaves her own country, Israel, with her husband and settles in a foreign country called Moab, hoping to make for themselves a better life. At the beginning, things seem to work out. She and her husband produce two wonderful sons who, since they are living in the land of Moab, end up marrying Moabite women. All seems to be going well until all of a sudden Naomi is burying not only her husband, but her two sons as well. Bitter might be the best word to describe Naomi as we enter into this story. Bitter and angry and confused. Vulnerable, fearful, hopeless. Here's a woman who's in the range of 50 to 60 years old, which in those days was old age. She had no husband, no children, no means of support, separated from her extended family and even her own country. I have no doubt that she was struggling with momentous questions that lay before her. Am I going to survive? Will I ever have a family again? Where will I live? How will I pay for food, clothing, shelter? Is there anywhere I can turn for hope? Is there any hope? The answer to one of those questions, where will I live, is made when Naomi decides to go to the only place she could go, and that was back to the land of Israel, back to the place from which she had come, and to see if she still had a home there. So she turns to the two young women who married her now deceased sons, and she bids these two young widows goodbye, saying that they should remain in their homeland of Moab so they might find new husbands and begin a new life there. Meanwhile, she will return to her own people to live out the few days she has left. Yet in the most tender moment of the story, one of the daughters-in-law, Ruth, refused to stay in Moab, but insists on going with Naomi. And she tells her, "Don't force me to leave you. Where I go, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." I got to thinking about Ruth in this story. She was probably in her 20s at the time, and she offers to tend to her aging and now destitute mother-in-law. She had to know that accompanying Naomi back to Israel was going to be a burden for her, a burden that she didn't have to take on. She could have stayed back in Moab, found a new husband, started over, but she doesn't do that. Instead, she decides to travel with Naomi and care for this aging older woman. Caring for someone else. It has been estimated that almost 1/4 of the adult population of this country is involved in providing unpaid care to an adult friend or family member. 4/5 of these caregivers are providing care to older adults. Although more women than men are providing this care, the gap is narrowing. And a substantial number of these caregivers do not live in the same community as the one they are helping. These are the roots of our society. And like Naomi, we should be thankful for their care. I also thought of those who are cared for in institutional settings, nursing homes, retirement homes, senior living centers. Some are there by choice, some by circumstances, and all are there because they need extra care and attention. Care and attention that goes beyond what families and others can provide. And all this came to mind this week as I thought of the new ministry that Heather is being called to. We called her to minister to our children, which she did wonderfully. Heather provided nurture and growth for our kids from the nursery through high school. She taught them Bible stories, gave them opportunities to serve others. She organized exciting events for kids and their families. She found ways to include the rest of us in ministering to the children in our midst. Then COVID came and she pivoted quickly from an in-person ministry to an online ministry, providing educational tools to families in a myriad of ways. And then she became an ambassador for our church on Saturday mornings with the Farmers Market Ministry, letting the community know that we are more than just a building on the edge of the parking lot. We have been blessed by her energy, her creativity, and her faith. And we will forever be grateful for that. And now she's called to a new ministry and another form of caring and nurture. But then that has always been in Heather's nature. We hired her to minister to children, but if you watched her closely, you would have seen how wonderfully she also ministered to our older members as well. A kind word, a gracious gesture, a listening ear, these were the extra gifts that we received from Heather in her years here. And now these gifts will be given to the residents of the Otterbein Senior Living Centers. She will be their Ruth. And as I think about it, there might not be a better model for the church as a whole than to be a congregation of Ruths. Many of us already care for another person. Some care for family members, some care for friends, others check up on neighbors. Many of us are Ruths to each other in this church. And all that caregiving can take its toll on the caregivers as well. Caregivers have to manage the emotional and physical stress of the caregiving role. They have to balance their caregiving with their needs of their own families and their work. And so the church is not only a gathering of Ruths to help out the Naomis in of our community, we are also a gathering of Ruths to help out the other Ruths in our church. Networks of friends support the caregiver as well as the one in care. Our support is particularly helpful for those who must live apart from the one who needs the care, and the church provides both spiritual and physical support for those who are in care and for other caregivers in their work. In short, we are a congregation of Ruths, and if we are not directly caring for someone in need, then we are caring for those caregivers who are. Now, if we follow the story of Ruth, we discover that this is not a one-sided story. Ruth follows Naomi to Judah, where there it is Naomi who helps Ruth find a new husband. The one who has helped helps the one who is helping. And this is often the case. The one who is the caregiver receives from the one who is cared for. Many a time I have heard people tell me about the joyful moment they had with someone they were caring for. I remember a deacon in one of my previous churches who felt guilty that she had not called on a member in a long time, a member who was a caregiver herself. I convinced the deacon to make that visit, and she ended up spending an hour with that woman. And when the deacon came to church the next Sunday, she found a book in her mailbox, a gift from the very woman she was sent to help. Such is the reciprocal nature of care in a church full of Ruths. We sacrifice our time and energy to care for someone else, maybe a relative, maybe someone else. And while we are caring, we find that the one for whom we are caring cares for us as well. Sometimes tangibly with a gift of a book or an insight of faith, sometimes with the blessing of a prayer shared. As preacher Gary Rittner once put it, the tie which binds us is not similarity of national backgrounds or shared political opinions. It is not tied by bonds of blood or social class. We are not bound to each other by ownership. The tie that binds us is our mutual love for God. The tie which binds us is that we have experienced the presence of God's love in our lives, and we are profoundly grateful for that love. The tie which bound Ruth to Naomi was compassion. The tie which bound Jesus to us was compassion. The tie which binds us to each other is compassion. We share a passion for God which motivates us to have compassion for each other. Going back to the story of Naomi, I suggested that one of the questions that had to be on Naomi's mind was, is there any hope? Ruth gave her that hope. Ruth gave her the hope that God, working through Ruth, would be there for her. So it is with us. We have that hope because of the Ruths in our lives, and we offer that hope to others in being Ruths to others. Heather, you showed us how a passion for God translates into compassion for each other. And for that, we thank you. Now may you and all of us continue to be Ruths to each other and to the world wherever we may be. Amen.